Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. We Should All Be Feminists is a brief nonfiction essay adapted from Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's widely viewed TEDx talk of the same name. Published as a Kindle single and later in small print editions, it uses personal reflection, cultural observation, and direct argument to clarify what feminism means in contemporary life. Adichie writes from experiences in Nigeria while deliberately addressing a global readership. Showing how gender expectations appear in schools, workplaces, families, language, and everyday manners. The work is not a systematic academic theory of feminism. Its purpose is introductory, corrective, and conversational. It challenges the idea that feminism is anti-men or hostile to culture, and instead frames it as a necessary commitment to equal dignity, opportunity, and social recognition. Its brevity is central to its design. The essay aims to make gender inequality visible to readers who may not identify with feminist discourse but can recognize its examples. This accessibility explains its frequent use in classrooms, book clubs, and public conversations about gender. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, feminism reframed as equal social value rather than gender hostility, a central task of the essay is definitional. Adichie responds to the social stigma attached to the word feminist by separating the idea from caricatures that portray feminists as angry, unfeminine, anti-family, or hostile to men. Her argument is deliberately plain feminism is a recognition that gender should not determine a person's worth, freedom, or access to opportunity. This reframing matters because much resistance to feminism comes not from a careful disagreement with equality, but from assumptions about what the term means. By making the definition concrete and accessible, Adichie lowers the barrier to entry for readers who may have avoided the label. She also insists that feminism is not a niche concern for women alone. If gender inequality is produced through shared customs, jokes, expectations, and institutions, then correcting it requires participation from everyone. The book's title is therefore not decorative. It expresses the essay's thesis that feminism is a civic and ethical responsibility, not a private identity marker. Secondly, how everyday socialization teaches girls to become smaller. One of the essay's most memorable ideas is that girls are often taught to reduce themselves socially, emotionally, and professionally. Adichie describes a pattern in which girls are encouraged to be likable, modest, accommodating, and careful not to appear too ambitious, while boys are more often permitted or encouraged to be assertive. The significance of this point is that inequality does not begin only with formal laws or obvious discrimination. It is also produced through repeated small lessons about who may speak, lead, desire, earn, or occupy space without apology. This socialization shapes adult behavior because children internalize what earns approval. A girl who learns that confidence makes her unpleasant may later hesitate to ask for recognition or authority. A boy who learns that dominance proves masculinity may later confuse entitlement with strength. Adichie's reasoning is effective because it connects private manners to public outcomes. The essay shows that gender inequality persists partly because ordinary behavior trains people to accept unequal roles before they can name them. Thirdly, culture examined as a living practice that can be questioned. Adichie addresses culture with care because many defenses of gender hierarchy are presented as loyalty to tradition. Drawing on Nigerian social settings while speaking beyond them, she argues that cultural practices are human-made and therefore open to revision. This is not a rejection of culture itself. Rather, the essay distinguishes between valuing cultural identity and treating every inherited norm as morally untouchable. The reasoning is important because appeals to tradition often convert inequality into inevitability. If a practice is described as simply how things are, individuals are discouraged from asking whom it benefits and whom it restricts. Adichie's approach insists that culture changes constantly in response to power, economics, education, religion, migration, and ordinary choice. Because culture is dynamic, gender rules within culture can also be reconsidered. The essay's examples make this argument practical. Rather than abstract expectations about marriage, domestic labor, ambition, respectability, and public behavior are not natural facts. They are arrangements that societies can preserve, modify, or abandon. Fourthly, gender inequality is a system that also narrows men's lives, although the essay focuses strongly on the marginalization of women. Adichie also makes clear that rigid gender expectations harm men. The harm is different in form and degree, but it is still socially significant. Boys are often taught that masculinity depends on toughness, control, financial dominance, and emotional restraint. These expectations can make vulnerability seem shameful and care work seem lesser. Adichie's broader point is that gender roles create scripts for both women and men, limiting the full range of human behavior. This argument strengthens the essay because it prevents feminism from being framed as a zero-sum struggle in which women gain only when men lose. Instead, it presents equality as a reorganization of social expectations so that individuals are not punished for traits coded as inappropriate for their gender. Men benefit when they are not required to perform dominance, just as women benefit when they are not required to perform smallness. The essay therefore treats feminism as a route toward more honest relationships, fairer institutions, and less constrained identities. Lastly, personal anecdote, used as a clear entry point into structural bias, the essay's method is one of its defining features. Adichie does not build her case through dense theory or extensive data. Instead, she uses personal anecdotes, social observations, and concise analysis to show how gender bias works in ordinary life. This choice gives the book unusual reach. Readers who might not read academic feminist texts can still understand how exclusion operates when a woman is ignored, underestimated, judged by marriageability, or expected to soften her ambition. The anecdotes are not presented as isolated complaints. They function as recognizable evidence of broader patterns. This method has both strengths and limits. Its strength is immediacy. The reader can see the logic of inequality in familiar interactions. Its limitation is that the essay does not attempt a comprehensive history of feminist movements, legal systems, class differences, sexuality, or global political economy. Yet that narrowness is largely consistent with the work's purpose. It is an invitation to notice and question, not a full theoretical map. The book succeeds by making an old debate newly legible. In conclusion, We Should All Be Feminists is best suited for readers seeking a concise, accessible introduction to contemporary feminist thinking rather than a specialized academic treatment. It is useful for students, discussion groups, parents, educators, and general readers who want language for identifying gender bias in everyday life. Its practical benefit lies in sharpening perception after reading it. Ordinary interactions around ambition, politeness, marriage, domestic expectations, leadership, and respect become easier to examine. Its intellectual benefit is equally important. Adichie shows that feminism is not a narrow identity category, but a way of analyzing how societies assign value and possibility according to gender. Compared with many books in gender studies, it stands out because of compression, clarity, and narrative force. It does not overwhelm the reader with theory, yet it avoids reducing the subject to slogans. Compared with longer memoirs or sociological works, it offers fewer layers of historical and institutional detail, but its brevity makes it unusually portable and teachable. The essay's distinctiveness comes from its combination of literary voice, Nigerian perspective, global relevance, and definitional precision. It remains effective because it gives readers a usable starting point question inherited gender roles, recognize how they are reproduced, and understand equality as a shared social obligation. If you would like to support Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.